Matters of Moment from Luke 15, number 1, joy. Luke's gospel is known for its joy. A sentence from a recommended New Testament introduction sums it up excellently. Quote, there can be no doubt that the Christianity Luke knew was a wonderfully joyful affair. This from Carson Moon Morris, Apollos 1992. Here then, in Luke 15, is a chapter full of joy, that apart from the sourpusses in verse 2. But what is the nature of this joy? For there is something quite special here. Let me put it like this. Our joy in Christ in this life is celebrated by many a book from the church bookstall and from many a church pulpit. But the joy of Luke 15, verses 7 and 10, is not about us and our experience. It describes the joy of angels around the throne, the joy of heaven itself. As such, this joy in paradise must be unique in its purity and perfection. God himself taking pleasure. It must speak of a happiness that is supreme in its nature, a great wonder, a joy and a gladness we can only imagine. We are bound, therefore, to ask the reason for this most blissful joy. And the answer forthcoming is given to us very plainly. It is a restored relationship. This theme is both the beginning and the end of Luke 15. First, the Saviour receiving estranged but penitent sinners, outsiders, and restoring them to a relationship with God marked by the shared meal together, verses 1 and 2. And finally, a father welcoming a lost son home at last with a celebratory feast. How characteristic of Bible material is always taking us by surprise that the scribes and Pharisees give us the theme of this wonderful chapter in the following simple words. Quote, this man receives sinners and eats with them. It is thus then that the scene for Luke 15 is set by those who never could understand the mission of Jesus. They would have required of the outcast a return to the law. I think Earl Ellis says it very well somewhere, I can't nail the quotation, that Jesus, by contrast, is interested not in making them religious, but in a new creation. What emerges from all this is that relationships are at the heart of God's created order. Hence, for example, the two great commandments. Just as true relationships are the cause of an immense amount of human happiness, so broken or ended relationships are the source of our greatest misery. This latter is exactly illustrated by the father's pain at his two sons' rejection of his authority and his merciful ways. And yet what unspeakable joy at the prodigal's return. And of course, when it came to it, servanthood is not seen as adequate for such a reconciliation, only sonship will do. It's not the aim of this study to follow this through into the world that God has made, where human connectedness is essential to existence. But think as examples, first of marriage and family love. How do you begin to quantify what this means in terms of human happiness? Or for that matter, begin to plumb the misery when it all goes wrong? Or think of human friendships. Here is Lewis in a letter to Arthur Greaves, a lifelong friend. Quote, friendship is the greatest of worldly goods. Certainly to me, it is the chief happiness of life. Or think of our human connectedness in daily life in all its aspects. This may be testing at times, but isn't the worst of all punishments solitary confinement, just being on our own? And how come I've not even mentioned, for us Christians, our life together in true Christian communities, something Paul is always going on about, partly in order that the world might be attracted by our mutual happiness. So, joy in Luke 15, what's it all about? The greatest thing in the world is the answer, a restored relationship with our Creator and with our fellow creatures.